This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Tim Longo is Chief of Police of the City of Charlottesville, Virginia. He joins us in studio. Thank you for spending some time with us and coming in, and we're hoping that this can be a regular thing. We'll play it by ear, but
behave yourself.
I'm hoping today goes well, so you'll want to come back. And, of course, we invite folks to call if you have a question for Chief Longo. The number is 977-1070. Again, 977-1070. We invite your calls, comments, or questions. And the best place to start is just tell folks a little bit about yourself, where you're from, when you came to Charlottesville, and then we'll get into a little bit more details about the department here in Charlottesville and some of the nuts and bolts and things y'all are working on.
Sure, Coy. It's great to be here this afternoon. Been in Charlottesville about 5.5 years now. Came out of Baltimore, Maryland. Came up through the ranks of the Baltimore Police Department there. Retired in March of 2000 as the police department's chief of technical services. I was a police colonel at the time of my retirement. I took about 9 months to do a little bit of consulting in the District of Columbia for the police department there, and then got a phone call from a friend who said, "What do you know about Charlottesville, Virginia?" And so I put an application in for the chief of police job. It was here, and I've been here ever since.
What did you know? Had you been here much before
Monticello
that?
And UVA.
Yeah,
that was about the
Thomas
extent
Jefferson.
Of it. Jefferson. That's about the extent of it.
And what's it been? What's this five and a half years been like for you?
It's been incredible. It really has. You know, coming up in a large police organization, despite the fact that I had a number of people under me, the buck stops when you're the chief. You know, that's where the decision making takes place. And this has been a great opportunity for me to grow into my position, to grow into this responsibility, and to do it with really good people that are very competent and skilled and really care a lot about this community. I'm proud to be a part of this police agency, and I'm more proud to be associated with the guys and gals who come to work there every day and try so hard to serve this community.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about this department here in Charlottesville, how we compare, say, to other communities, whether it's in Virginia or other states our size. Are we big? Are we small? Tell us a little bit, just sort of the Department 101, a little bit so folks can get a clearer picture of what we have here in Charlottesville.
Sure. Let's start by just saying that 90% of most all police agencies in America have less than 200 police officers. The departments like L.A., New York, Boston, Chicago, Detroit, Baltimore, Philadelphia, they're the anomalies. The majority of police agencies, 90% of them, are just a bit bigger than Charlottesville.
Huh.
We're authorized about 117 sworn personnel. We have about 30 civilian support staff that work in very critical, mission-critical positions in the department, such as management services and traffic enforcement, parking enforcement, community service officers, animal control officers that really help support the department's operations. But I think comparatively, we're a fairly good-sized organization in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and folks ask a lot. You know, is that okay? 117. What does that mean in a community of 40,000 people? I think it's dangerous to base the number of police officers solely on the population, as we know it, based on the consensus. I think you need to look not only at the population, but at the reported calls for service, reported crime, at the type of policing that you want to provide to the community. I think that's pretty critical. I think the university brings a set of issues and challenges to the community that the police department, looking at its table of organization, needs to take into consideration. And I also think you really need to be careful that you prepare for the various issues that are taking place around us in the five surrounding counties and consider them when you look at what the table of organization should look like in the future, whether it be this year or next.
Now, UVA has their own police department, right? Do we know how many they have? Or I hate to catch off guard, how big that is?
It's about anywhere from 50 to 60 sworn, as I recall.
Okay.
Their jurisdiction is on Mr. Jefferson's grounds.
So it's about half as big as the Charlottesville department.
That's correct.
Okay.
We have a mutual patrol agreement with them and a mutual aid agreement so that we can complement each other's resources as the need should arise. And, of course, we have that with the county as well.
We're talking with Tim Longo. He's the chief of police for the city of Charlottesville. We are going to take a very quick break. Rich, hang on with us. We'll get to you right after this break. We are talking with Chief Longo. This is Charlottesville Right Now. Tim Longo is the chief of police of the city of Charlottesville. He joins us in studio. We're We're talking about the police department in Charlottesville, and we're taking your calls, comments, and questions. Rich is on line one from Madison. How are you doing this afternoon, Rich?
I'm doing fine.
I appreciate your patience hanging on. Go right ahead.
All right. Chief, I want to compliment you first on your demeanor. I guess it was a Dateline program that outlined the charges in this case regarding Liz Schimpf, the lady that was, I guess, raped at UVA some 20 years ago. And I don't want to ask you specifically about the case, but the question I had that surprised me was, you said that in Virginia, all felonies have no statute of limitation.
That's
correct.
Is that
unique to Virginia, or is it, I mean, you've been in Maryland. Is that unique to Virginia, or is it? That's certainly not true nationwide, I don't believe.
Well, no, it's not true nationwide. The determination as to statute of limitations is a matter of state law generally. In Maryland, for example, there were a select number of felonies that, particularly capital crimes, murder being the most prominent of examples, where there were no statute of limitations. Here in the Commonwealth, as I reported on Dateline and as is part of our code, there is no statute of limitations on any felony crime, and that certainly is a wide array of different criminal offenses, and certainly rape is one of them.
Well, great. Okay, thanks a lot for taking my call.
You're welcome, Rich.
Thank you. Thanks for the call, Rich. The phone number is 977-1070. Again, 977-1070 if you have a question for Tim Longo, the chief of police of the city of Charlottesville. Rich raises this topic of rape, and while we're on it, there's been a much publicized series of rapes here in Charlottesville that, if I'm not mistaken, investigators believe have a commonality to them. They believe that we're talking about either just one or two or perhaps one rapist that to this date we haven't found the guy. Can you update us on that? I know the Progress did a big update on that last week or the week before, but can you update us about that, on where we are with that and
sure.
What's been going on?
Sure, I can. Rob Seal from the Progress did a really good job from an historical perspective of putting the case together for print and for people to read. It goes back to 1997 that we know, and the commonality between these cases, seven that we're aware of, is a genetic link. That is the rapist's DNA. So we know that at least seven of these cases can be attributed to a single sexual predator. Tomorrow, in fact, I believe either tomorrow or the next day, is a two-year anniversary from the last known event. That case was in Albemarle County back in 2004, where a young lady was sexually assaulted in the middle of the day in her home. And to our knowledge, the offender has not offended since that time. But interestingly enough, as I think most folks realize, rape is an underreported crime. And it's very possible that there may have been other offenses that this person has committed that we don't know about. He's still very high on our radar screen. The investigation's still ongoing. And we're doing our best to keep community interest in this topic, because I believe there perhaps is information in the community that has not yet come to our attention that might lead us to this person who has really destroyed the lives of many young ladies.
Yeah, and Virginia has a pretty phenomenal DNA database, so is it possible, I guess it is possible, that he might pop up somewhere else and you might get a match with a DNA case of a rapist in Maryland or Pennsylvania or Williamsburg?
Yes, more likely than not, that will be the way this person will be apprehended, and that's my opinion. We do have a very sophisticated DNA database. We are fortunate enough to have really great people here in Charlottesville, Captain Chip Harding being one, who was a strong advocate to help put that database together and to bring it to the point where it is today. And we're very fortunate to have that resource here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. It's also possible that we may have acquired this particular individual's DNA, and because of some backlog or administrative slippage, it's not yet in the database. And we're hopeful that that may be the case. But I think more likely than not, we'll catch him that way, or we'll catch him under circumstances at 3 o'clock in the morning, peeping in the window of a person's home.
Yeah, I mean, predators like that usually, don't they usually get to a point where they make a mistake and they where you can catch them?
Oh, they become careless. It's like any other addiction. You're being driven to a point where from time to time you get complacent and you make a mistake. And, you know, very few crimes occur without something being left behind.
Yeah, it always amazes me that these people are just so stupid, like the guys down in Scottsville who were growing the pot and had thousands of pot plants in their backyard that you could see from the road. It never ceases to amaze me how dumb criminals can be, and I'm sure you run into this every day.
Well, that's a tactical advantage I think we have, is that oftentimes they do lack a sophistication and therefore get caught.
Yeah, and what they assume, thank goodness, is that they're never going to get caught and that no one will ever know.
Well, as I heard a talk that a medical examiner in Hamilton County and just outside of the city of Cincinnati gave to a group of young people, and basically what he told them was, you might commit a crime today, but there's the sophisticated technology, particularly in the area of forensic science. We will catch you, maybe not today, but someday. And I feel that to be the case with our predator as well.
Tim Longo is the chief of police for the city of Charlottesville here in our community. Ben is on line one from Charlottesville. Ben, go right ahead.
Silly question here. I'm just wondering. Actually, I feel like sometimes the citizens don't know their rights when interacting with a police officer. If a police officer pulls me over and asks me to step out of the car, can I not just roll down the window slightly and give him my license and registration and be done with it? Do I have to get out of the car?
Well, especially if you're a young woman and you don't know for sure, you have some question, is this a real police officer?
I think that the short answer is there's a case out of Pennsylvania many years ago. I believe it was Pennsylvania versus Mims that supports the theory that a police officer, once lawfully stopped the vehicle, has the right to ask a driver to remain inside the vehicle. And so the analogy that can be drawn, or the inference that can be drawn, is the officer has equally the right to ask the driver to come out of the vehicle, particularly to conduct certain field sobriety tests if he or she believes that there's a threat associated with allowing or having the occupant remain in the vehicle. So there's some justification for doing that. With respect to a woman on the side of the road at 3 o'clock in the morning that may question whether, in fact, the person who may be trying to stop her is a police officer, there are other ways to get to addressing that issue as it arises.
And, of course, shouldn't the woman just say, be real upfront and say, sir, I want to cooperate with you, but I'm scared right now.
Absolutely. And 99.9% of the time, you're going to find police officers that are going to be willing to explain why they're doing what they're doing. And certainly where you don't understand that, simply ask. And my experience is that officers will do their best to cooperate so that people understand what their rights are.
Ben, I didn't think that was a silly question at all.
Thank you.
I appreciate your call. The phone number is 977-1070. We're talking with Tim Longo. He is chief of police in the city of Charlottesville. One thing that I do want to say just real quick before we go to local news here at the bottom of the hour, and we'll say it again before we end the program. We have thousands of young women that are headed back to Charlottesville in the next couple of weeks. A lot of them, over 3,000 first-year students who are coming in, many thousands of young women who are going to be coming here for the first time, joining our community. And regrettably, every year, you know, as they get used to new rooms and new apartments and new homes off grounds, they leave the door open because, you know, Mary doesn't have her key yet, and so I'll just leave the door open from her. And, well, we just left the corner together, and I know she'll be here any minute. So I'm sure your office and your department feels very strongly about getting out the word to these young women to just be careful. I mean, it's a very simple rule, but a lot of them seem to forget that.
Oh, absolutely. And I think our friends at the University Police Department feel the same way. Our job is to make sure that we keep the students informed, that we do our very best to remind them of things like awareness and safety and how to secure their apartments so that they remain safe while they're here in our community.
Tim Longo is our guest on Charlottesville right now. We're going to take a break for some local news. When we come back, we will discuss the quote-unquote gang problem in Charlottesville. Do we have a problem? Is it gangs? Is it national gangs? Is it homegrown local neighborhood? What's the deal and what's being done? We're taking your calls, comments, and questions at 977-1070. Look forward to hearing from you. This is News Radio 1070 WINA. Right now we're talking with Tim Longo. He is the chief of police of the city of Charlottesville, and we're taking your calls at 977-1070. If you have a comment or a question about the Charlottesville Police Department or any recent issues or developments, we'd love to hear from you. Again, it's 977 1070. Can we talk a little bit about gangs? We were talking in the last hour with the Attorney General, and he's got this new initiative in the Valley where you were telling me off the air that there's the problem in the Valley is actually a lot more severe than we're looking at here in Central Virginia.
In many ways, we're fortunate here in Charlottesville to not be experiencing some of the problems that they're having over in the Valley. And as the Attorney General pointed out, gang-related homicides, a lot of the methamphetamine drug trafficking can be related back to organized gang activity. The prevalence and existence of MS-13 is a bit more notable in the Valley than it certainly is in this part of our community. And I think I applaud the Attorney General. I certainly applaud John Brownlee, our United States Attorney in the Western District of Virginia, who was gracious enough to invite me to Roanoke yesterday. Unfortunately, I couldn't be there to help them celebrate this discussion that the Attorney General had with you earlier. But to be able to bring every resource, both from a local, state, and federal level, to bear on this problem, I think is really important and very valuable to a community, and I applaud him for that.
Do we have, I know that for a long time in Charlottesville, any indication of a quote-unquote gang problem was, I may be painting this with broad strokes here, but was sort of, our local political leaders, elected people, sort of didn't look the other way, but they didn't really put a spotlight on it. And I have been told by some folks that we were honestly afraid of white flight. We were afraid of drawing attention to what might be a problem for fear that a lot of white folks moved out of Charlottesville and moved into the county and left Charlottesville high and dry. So, but, you get to a point where you can't ignore it any longer. There seems to be some kind of an issue, whether it's a problem or not, remains for experts like you to say. So what are we looking at in Charlottesville? We hear these, occasionally you'll see stories in the Progress on TV about somebody who was jumped on the downtown mall by a gang of kids. Is this a gang, really a gang, or is it just a bunch of kids who should be doing something else with their time?
Well, it's like we were discussing at the break. I mean, there's really three facets you need to look at with this problem. Is it in fact a national gang? Is it the Crips and the Bloods? Is it a group that wants to mirror organizations like those? Or is it a criminal street gang that kind of grew up here in our own community? And from where I sit, it really doesn't matter to me. It is what it is, what it is. And any time a group of people come together for the purpose of committing crime in our community and destroying our quality of life, it doesn't matter to me what we call them. They need to be someone that we target and aggressively pursue using every resource that we have. That's kind of the direction that I've wanted to take, and with the assistance of folks like John Brownlee, we began to do that, utilizing the power of the federal court and the skills of his prosecutors to help deal with this issue.
And so there really is, you've really taken some leadership on this and to create some infrastructure here in Charlottesville in the department, and also reaching out to get some other resources around the state to address here. What, if I hear you right, there really is an issue here.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's an issue. Anytime that, as I said, we can look at particular types of activities, and drugs seem to be the kind of criminal activity that organized groups kind of come around to perpetrate their activity, and particularly if that activity is violent crime, I think we'd need to have a really focused strategy on dealing with them. And we've tried to put that together and tried to, as David Kennedy said when he looked at the Boston Youth Violence Strategy several years ago, you got to pull all the levers.
Mm-hmm.
and really utilize all the resources you have available to you to address the issue at hand.
In light of the fact that Charlottesville is now approving new high-rises downtown, And we might be looking at, a series of 9-story buildings downtown that are going to be bringing, a lot more families actually living right downtown. What does that mean to you from a public safety standpoint?
Well, we do a good job, I think, in Charlottesville of trying to make sure that infrastructure needs are addressed as we do development projects. But one of the things we can't forget is that the more dense we become, particularly in the downtown area, the more of an impact that's going to have on our ability to provide public safety services. And so as we every year prepare our budgets and look at our table of organization, we need to be thinking out the population and the number of people that are going to be coming into this community every day over the next several years to make sure that we don't fall behind and that our table of organization is sufficient enough to meets the needs of those new residents.
Tim Longo is our guest. He's chief of police in the city of Charlottesville. Gary is on line one from Albemarle. Gary, thanks for the call. You're on the air.
Thanks a lot, Coy. Chief Longo, I'm an Albemarle County resident, but first of all, looking into the city from the outside, I want to compliment you on the way that you seem to be visible in the community, the way that you seem to work alongside your men and women, the fact that you're out in the street, and I think in one case you've apprehended a couple people as well, but I want to compliment you on that, first of all.
Thank you, sir.
An employee's employer. My question is this. In general, and not particularly about the Charlottesville Police Department, but the fitness that officers have to have and maintain when they're on a department. Can you talk a little bit about that? I hate to say it, that as a citizen, when you see some officers that look a little bit overweight and maybe got some years on them, sometimes you wonder, can they make the run if they have to catch the perpetrator? And I'll just hang up and listen.
Gary, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate that question. I've had answered several times before over the past couple of years. And, you know, I'm embarrassed to say that as a profession, we pay a lot of attention to the fitness of our officers when we hire them. I'm not sure we pay enough attention as we go down the road and they progress in their career. I know here in Charlottesville, the city provides, as part of its benefits package, the ability for officers to be able to become part of fitness facilities across the city to kind of maintain a certain level of fitness. It's particularly important for police officers, not just because of the strength and agility component, but the stress that a police officer goes through on a day-to-day, and this can be said for firefighters as well. You can be your heart could be at a rested rate and rested position 1 minute, and in a matter of seconds elevate dramatically because of a stressful situation you find yourself in. If your body's not prepared for that, the results are catastrophic. What I try to do is I try to think of creative ways to encourage people to be involved, to be fit, but the way I do it best is to try to be that example, to come to work looking the part, and to take time out of my day to make sure that I engage in a fitness activity, whatever that may be, and hope that officers that work for me will follow suit. But trying to find creative ways to do that, and particularly to mandate it, is a challenge.
Eric is on the phone from Charlottesville. Eric, go right ahead.
Yes, I had a question concerning the organization's firearms training. The organization currently, police force uses the private gun club down in southern Albemarle, and I'd heard through the grapevine that the county and the city might be planning on building some new training facility down in the southern part of the county, and I just wondered if that was anything that was actually planned.
Well, it's my understanding, and I've been part of at least one conversation where the county shared a willingness to partner with us to accomplish that. Their staff has worked very hard to locate a facility, to plan for it, to begin to put it together. My understanding is that there is funding to do that. Unfortunately, the city is not in a position presently to participate with that effort because, frankly, it's a funding issue for us. But we continue to work with the county and wish them well in their planning of that, and certainly hope that we can become part of it at some point. But we are grateful for the private pistol club that we do belong to, that they continue to allow us the opportunity to use that facility. I think we do a pretty good job at preparing our officers for deadly force situations, and we do it because of the assistance of those types of individuals.
Chief Longo is our guest, City of Charlottesville Police Department. Let's talk about funding. It's my personal view that you're all underfunded. You know, I'd love to see more money go to men and women, especially when you have men and women who protect us in our community, and they can't afford to live in the community they're protecting. I mean, we got, people living down at the lake or in Madison or commuting in from Louisa. They would love to live in Charlottesville, Albemarle County, and be closer to their work and have their kids enjoy our schools. And they can't afford it. And yet they go out every day and risk their lives to protect us.
Well, you know, it's not only about the risks associated with the job. It's about the level of authority and power we give police officers over the personal destiny of others. I mean, other than our United States military during wartime, the police officer on the street at 3 o'clock in the morning has more control over the personal destiny of another human being than any other profession that I'm aware of. And how you keep and recruit good people to make those kinds of good judgments and decisions is you put together a retention package and a benefits package that's going to be attractive to them, particularly when they compare it across the marketplace. We're doing our best to try to accomplish that, but we're faced with some tremendous challenges as we put together a budget, not just for one single department, the police department, but for an entire city. And it comes down to prioritizing priorities. And that's where the public voice, the citizen's voice of what's important to them, is so critical in that process. We rely on people who live in this community to say, here's what I think's important, and here's how I want my tax dollars spent. And we look forward to that dialogue as we begin our budget process in the next few weeks.
And part of the challenge, of course, is the fact that, you know, Charlottesville, we're very fortunate in Charlottesville. We don't have a runaway gang problem.
Sure.
We don't have a murderer on the loose.
That's right.
So you're not really going to have people who are thinking every minute of the day, gosh, you know, I got to go to that city council meeting and urge for better funding of our police department.
Well, unfortunately, you don't think about the, you know, I think it was Mr. Jefferson himself who said that the most important role of government is to protect its people, to protect its citizenry. And I think we forget that sometimes until there's a tragedy, until there's an aftermath of a plane crashing into the side of a building, or a terrible string of violent criminal acts in one of our communities. Then all of a sudden we're thinking about our safety. But we forget about it until those kinds of events happen, unfortunately. And we try to do our best to tell our story. And we try to do it in a very effective way. But we're it's a work in progress.
Yeah, well, I certainly want to make the resources of this program available to your department to help tell that story. And I hope that you would join us on a regular basis. We're talking with Tim Longo. He is Chief of Police of the City of Charlottesville. We're going to take a very quick break. We've got time for a couple of more calls. If you want to pick up the phone, we'd love to hear from you. 977-1070. It's 11 minutes before the hour of 6 o'clock. This is News Radio 1070 WINA. This hour, before you go, I have to ask you real quick.
Sure.
There was some headline recently about violent crime in Charlottesville is down, but break-ins were up. Can you flesh that out for us and what that means and what's going on with that?
We've been really fortunate with respect to our violent crime rate, and it has stabilized. It's gone down considerably over the past 5 years, but we had a tremendous spike in residential burglaries. I'm happy to report that I think we've brought that spike to an end with a recent arrest of a young man, 18-year-old Charlottesville resident, who was responsible for, we believe, between Charlottesville and Albemarle, and I think there were some events in Green as well, for maybe as many as 40 residential burglaries. You know, anytime you have a large number of events over a given period of time, you can bet that there's probably a small handful of people responsible for them. Eric was his name, and he was responsible, is his name, and he was responsible for, we believe, a great many of them.
What was he taking, like stereos, computers?
Electronic equipment, cash.
And then he liquidates that real quick and buys drugs? I mean, is that usually what they do?
I don't believe it was driven to support any type of habit or anything like that.
He was just a thief.
Yes.
Yeah.
A liar, sneak, and a thief walk hand in hand, my mother would say, God rest her soul. It's all the same character
trait. But that's good to know that he is off the street.
Yes, sir, he is.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you for that. What can you fill us in on maybe some of the things that are front burner for you down at the department, some of the things your men and women are focused on right now here at the end of the summer?
You know, from an administrative perspective, I'd love to say that I can spend all my time on the street doing the kind of thing I love to do, and that is being a police officer and serving the community in a very upfront way. But, you know, the administrative side of my job has kind of gotten my focus these days. We're getting ready to start another budget process. It's going to be a difficult process for us. We're facing some pretty tough and challenging fiscal times across our community. I'm looking to make this department a world-class police department. I'm looking to make sure that the people that are part of this organization are protected and well cared for in the salaries and the benefits that we provide for them. I want to close the gap on some compression that exists in our supervisory staff. and just how they're compensated. So I'm going to be focusing once again on making sure that we're doing right by our employees in the way of salary and benefits. I think that's so critical when we ask people to go into harm's way every day to make sure that we do our best to protect them. And that's my responsibility, and it's one I take very seriously.
Well, amen. It sounds like you have the priority straight. You want to take, in your role, you want to take care of the people who are taking care of us.
Absolutely, because they do such a good job doing that, and they deserve our attention and our respect.
How can the citizens of Charlottesville help you accomplish this? You've talked about, you know, it'd be nice to have folks come to the meetings and talk about, you know, it would just be nice to have somebody come to the city council meetings, folks come in regularly and say, hey, this is what I think you're doing right, and this is what I like about Charlottesville, and this is what the police department is doing great, or this is, you know, we could use some more money here to help them accomplish this goal, that kind of thing.
You know, I think there's a reason why we allow for that public comment section when council convenes, and I think it's important, and it's not just about the police department, it's about all our city service providers, that people come and share their thoughts about particularly the good work that's being done. But I do think as we enter a budget preparation time that we really want to hear from the citizens across the board. What is important? What is really important about how this city functions? Where do you want those tax dollars spent and how? That's useful input. I think important input, particularly as we as department heads start to put together our budget.
Tim Longo is the chief of police for the city of Charlottesville. Thank you, sir, for taking some time out of your,
yes, sir.
What I know
me.
Is a very busy schedule to come in here today and share a few thoughts and update us about what's going on with this stellar local department. And we look forward to having you in again.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Tomorrow, Kevin Lynch, city councilor, will update us on the Pat Michaels state climatologist debate. Dahlia Lithwick, Slate reporter and NPR commentator, and a member of our community will join us in the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow. On Friday, Ed Murphy, our in-house UVA astronomer, will educate us about what's going on with the planet count and all these new planets they're finding. And we're looking forward to that on Friday. You folks have a great night. This is News Radio 1070 WINA.